ask you to stand. We're going to sing an old hymn called Higher Ground. Pressing on the upward way, the new heights I'm gaining every day. Still free as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table. to worship here on earth and in heaven.
Before the day, before the light, before the world revolved around the sun, God on high stepped out in time. He wrote the story of his love for everyone. He has filled our
within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin. Jesus is calling.
Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin. Well, Jesus.
Good afternoon. Evening. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 3. And I've titled this sermonette, Resting with God. Resting with God. You know, they had this kind of rest in the beginning. It says they had perfect fellowship with Him. He gave them rest. And there's nothing better than resting with God. If you truly have found His rest, there's nothing better. Hebrews chapter 3, let's start in verse number 1. It says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and our high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all of God's house. Now, understand, the book of Hebrews was written to the Hebrews. The Hebrews. There's going to be in Hebrews, if you read the whole book of Hebrews, what you'll find is a rich reference in Old Covenant and New Covenant. You're going to find this rich reference in the old and the new, and this comparison between the two. And what you'll see here is no different. He's talking about Moses early on in this. And he says, just as Moses was faithful in all of God's house. And we can understand why he would reference Moses when he's speaking to the Hebrews. But then, verse 3, look at what he says. Jesus, you can underline this if you'd like. Guys, I've got my Bible is just all scribbled up. I mean, it's there to use. Don't be afraid to write in your Bible. I heard somebody say, if you write in the margin of your Bible, you've marginized God's Word. I don't think that's the case. It says in verse 3, this is one I would underline, Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses. Just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself, for every house is built by someone. True? That's true. Everybody, houses don't build themselves. Buildings don't just go up themselves. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. So literally, man builds buildings, but God built man. Amen? God made man, and quite frankly, God made all the material that we use. Every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Verse 5, Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. Verse 6, but Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house. And this would be another one to underline. And it says, and we are His house. We are His house. If indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and hope in which we glory. Who is that? That's Christ. So God no longer dwells in temples built by the hands of men. Acts tells us, that's chapter 7, verse 40-something, 45 or 48. I don't have that, but verse 7. So, as the Holy Spirit says, today, now I want you to remember that word. Just keep that in the back of your mind here as we study this evening. The word today, it's going to show up a lot, and it has great meaning. Today. So hold on to that thought. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. They saw the miracles of God, and yet they tested Him. That's why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Verse 12, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. A sinful, unbelieving heart. But encourage one another daily. Daily. Remember that word as well. Daily. As long as it is called, there's that word again, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As has just been said, here it is again, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. This is an evangelical appeal, isn't it, to the Hebrews? This appears to be a matter of belief and unbelief, right? Verse 16, who were they who heard and rebelled? They heard the message and they rejected it. They heard about Jesus, they rebelled. They heard about the good news in Canaan and they didn't go in. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt and with whom he was angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. So we see here unbelief and disobedience are used synonymously. And we'll also see that obedience and belief are used synonymously. Where are we at here? We're in chapter 4 now. We've made it to chapter 4. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us. What is this good news? We've also had this good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share in the faith of those who believed. They didn't believe. Now, look at this. Verse 3, now we who have believed, we enter that rest. How do we enter that rest? By believing. Just as God has said, so I declared on oath, in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. What's he saying? He's saying on the seventh day God rested, but he's been resting ever since. Do you think God's been feverishly working in heaven on anything? No. He said it's finished, it's good, and he rested. And he's been resting ever since. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. On the seventh day God rested from all of his works. And again, in the passage above, it says that they shall never enter my rest. So is God still working? No. When did his rest begin? On the seventh day. Been resting ever since. Is Jesus working? Is Jesus up in heaven doing something pertaining to your sin? He says he's our high priest. What's Jesus' posture right now in heaven? Is he up wringing his hands saying, what am I going to do with these people? What am I going to do about all this sin? What's he up there doing? He's seated. His posture is he's seated. He's resting. He's seated. The invitation to rest with God still stands, doesn't it? The doorway to God's rest, however, is not on a certain day and not at a certain time or not in a certain place. The doorway to God's rest is through his Son, by placing our faith in his Son. He was inviting the Hebrew to rest. Get this. He was inviting them to rest from their religious works. Remember, they had spent 1,500 years in this religion. And now he's inviting them to rest from that. Therefore, verse 6 says, therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, you could look at this and say, this is talking about the Israelites and Canaan. But this is running parallel, isn't it? This is a parallel story. Listen to this. Since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them, have you ever proclaimed the good news to somebody and they just rejected it? They did not go in because of their disobedience. Is this disobedience the sin that crosses our mind, the sin that comes to mind, the stealing and the cheating and the lying? No. What is this disobedience? We already discovered what it was. It's the unforgivable sin. It's the one sin that grace cannot bridge. It's unbelief. It's unbelief. They didn't go in because they didn't believe God. They didn't trust God, that God could conquer those armies in Canaan. God again said a certain day, get this, folks. Remember I told you to remember? It kept talking about referencing today and today if you hear his voice. Today if you hear his voice. Here he says it again. God set a certain day, calling it today. Not Sunday. Not Saturday. Not Wednesday. Today. He set a certain day, called it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. He said this several times now. Today. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. This is the invitation. This is the invitation. The invitation is for today. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works. Guys, this is not occupational work he's talking about. He's talking about you're resting from your religious dead works and putting your place and your rest in God. Just as God did from his, just let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. What was their disobedience? Unbelief. How do we enter God's rest? How does it say we entered God's rest? Let's go back just to make sure. Verse 3, chapter 4, verse 3. How do we enter it? Now we who have believed enter that rest. We enter by belief, by faith. It's always been by faith. Abraham, his righteousness was accredited to him by faith, by believing God, believing God's testimony about his son. What day is today? Trick question. What day is today? Well, it's today. What day is tomorrow going to be when we get there? It's going to be today. And the next? God's invitation is not to come to a certain day. Today is the day of salvation. Today is. Tomorrow, guess what? It'll be the day of salvation. Guess what? The next day will be the day of salvation. We can enter God's rest today. The invitation is today. The invitation to the lost person is today. Do not harden your hearts if you hear his voice. Today is the day of salvation. John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29. And this word, the reason I come to this is I cross-reference this word, work, where it says God rested, for anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works. This is the same word used, very same word in the Greek, or in the original language. John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29. They're talking to Jesus and they ask him a question. And these are Jews. They're used to relationship with God by a list of things that you do. And they ask him this question. They said, what must we do to do the works that God requires? Give us something to do. What do we got to do? What's the works that God requires? Jesus replied. He answered them. The work. Not works. The work of God is this. To believe in the one that he has sent. That's the work. Not works, that's the work. We cannot rest with God until you're made right with God. And you're not made right with God until you believe in the name of his Son. That's how we enter God's rest. Today. Today. The invitation is for today. And tomorrow, the invitation will be for today. And the next day, today. Salvation. Today. Amen. Close us.